Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from 2 Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to Elisha, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you.
They shall tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power.
That all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. You, Lord, faithful words and loving in all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eye of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works.
You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. A reading from Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now, There was a great deal of grass in that place, so they sat down, at about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." They gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again into the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. You
may be seated. Many of you will not be at all surprised to hear that my second grade teacher wrote in my report card that I had a gift for making a short story long. In fact, most people who meet me, there is a budding realization or awareness that as we talk about just about anything, I can have moments when all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm reminded of something else, and off I go down a rabbit trail. I don't tend to let it suffice to just make a reference to whatever I thought about. Apparently, I'm afraid that my audience won't get the point without all the details. As I have thought about the gospel for this week, I've wondered if the lectionary writers didn't have a moment like that. All of a sudden, they were sitting around their table discussing, well, the progression of Mark's story, the miracles of healing and feeding and preaching and teaching. And one of the assembled scholars, you can almost see it, can't you, says, "Hey, this reminds me of the 6th chapter of John." And so off they went. So though this is the year when the church reads mostly from Mark's gospel, beginning today, the church starts reading pretty much all of the 6th chapter from John's gospel. 5 weeks. Now, this is not a bad thing. Rather, it is an opportunity to reflect on what is distinctive about the Gospels. Where Mark's Gospel is a terse and rather hurried pace, John's Gospel elaborates more. Mark just tells the story. John's Gospel offers theological insights. John also has a narrator that, well, I don't quite remember the English literature term, but is one of those narrators who knows what's going on in the heads of the characters, particularly tells us what Jesus is thinking. Mark's gospel tells stories of healings and feedings and all manner of way cool events that the faithful, well, call miracles. John's gospel takes pains to call such events signs. And these signs are intended to point to the truth that Jesus is both human and divine, human and God. Now, I tell all you this to set up this series of readings that features heavily on bread for the next several weeks. So within this frame today, we hear that Jesus is traveling and a great multitude keep following him wherever he goes because they see the signs that he is doing. And Jesus goes up on a high mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now, those who read scriptures know that when you go up on the mountain, it's possible you're going to meet God, right? And so in John's gospel, Jesus' first move up there on the mountain as he sees the crowd coming is to ask a question. How are we to feed all these people? This is not a query as it is in other gospels, a query by one of the disciples who's anxious about the crowd that is gathered, is fearful about scarcity. Rather, the narrator tells us that Jesus knows that he is testing his disciples. For any student who has ever had a pop quiz, this is familiar territory. And for any of us who have showed up on test day having forgotten that there was a test, this may be particularly familiar territory. Philip doesn't come through. It's Andrew. Andrew says, "There is this young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Now that's good so far, right? But he can't help himself. He can't stop. But what is that among so many? And Jesus tells them to have everyone sit down. He blesses the loaves and the fishes and begins to distribute them. Everyone could eat all that they wanted to eat. The narrator tells us that they ate their fill. What's more, after Jesus had them gather the leftovers, there were 12 baskets full. This too is a sign. In fact, people recognized Jesus as the long-expected prophet. Signs show the way. The narrator goes on to tell us that Jesus perceived that they wanted to conscript him to be a king, to rival those kings, those rulers, those oppressors who were crushing them as a people. You see, most all of the commentators that I've read note that the reference to barley loaves suggests that the audience for John's gospel, and indeed, those people who were gathered on the mountaintop were poor. These are folks who barely get by when they can get by. And they want a king who will bring them freedom and life. Jesus is bringing good news for the destitute. With him, there is hope. The sign of feeding is a reminder that there is enough in God's creation. And today we hear it said that there is enough food to feed the whole world. Indeed, in the United States, an insane amount of food gets thrown away every week, every month, all the time. The problem is a distribution problem. Now, others suggest that the problem is that by making food a commodity with a profit being necessary, what is plentiful becomes scarce. There are ways around that, but it takes a whole different way of being, not just for individuals, but for whole cultures, for whole economies, for the whole world. Several years ago, as I was wrestling with something, when an Amish colleague of mine said to me, "Well, David, it depends on what you value." Jesus values caring for everyone. I find it worthy that this reading comes up today. St. Andrew's has a group who has been planning and organizing and collecting and preparing food for the local loaves and fishes feeding ministry. This team works 4 and 6 weeks ahead in so many ways. They ask lots of people for a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of time. And from that, they prepare food for well over 100 people once a month. Now, the good news is there are all kinds of other organizations in this community throughout Columbia who also sponsor loaves and fishes, so that every night of the week, every day of the month is covered to feed those who hunger. Even still, this makes an incredibly small dent in the issues of poverty and hunger in this wonderful city. There is more to do. And yet I know that I struggle. I struggle with a sense of scarcity. I don't feel like I have enough time, enough energy, enough resources, enough. Maybe others have similar experiences and feelings. Jesus blesses, though, what we have. And in doing so, invites us into a new awareness of abundance. The author of Ephesians prays it like this: "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." As St. Andrew's enters into new and hope-filled times ahead, may it be so.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.